Hello, hello.
Hello. Happy after Jason has arrived Sunday shift.
Happy Jason Schiff, y'all.
Happy
Welcome back.
Jason shift. That's the title.
That's the
Jason
title.
shift.
Jason Schiff. It might as well have been. But if you are new here, thank you for joining us. And if you are returning, we definitely appreciate you. Make sure you hit that like, subscribe, comment. Let us know how you feel about the show this week, both our show and GH. Tanya, how are you doing this week?
I'm doing okay. I had a relaxing day.
Okay.
And I had enough of a day to myself where I could do my hair.
It is very pretty.
Thank you. And I didn't do, yeah, I binge watched Big Bang Theory.
Okay.
I did watch Bad Batch because for those of you who don't know, Bad Batch is the cartoon series of the Star Wars clone troopers after Luke killed his dad. So it's kind of like, oh my God, the Empire is taking over. Well, no, actually it's before, as when Darth Vader becomes Darth Vader and before Luke and Leia grow up. So it's in that in-between time. But
Okay.
anywho, it's the cartoon series about the clone troopers, and it's on season three. So I watched the latest episode of that and then just binge watched Big Bang Theory all day and did my hair.
That sounds relaxing.
Yes.
I love a nice like comedy special, like comedy series, sitcom-y, I
Binge
love that.
watch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I
'Cause there's
can't
like
talk today.
12.
I'm like, what is it? A comedy series thing?
Yeah, sitcom. It's 12 seasons. So there's a lot to watch. And I only actually got through one season, but it was one of the best seasons. But it was funny and I loved it. So
I've never watched the show. I mean, I was like, who watches this show? But apparently a lot of people did. It was on for a long time, made a lot of money, people got famous. I've never watched the episode. I've seen an episode come on and I was just like, not interested, but maybe I'll double back. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's about nerds. One of them is kind of neurodivergent, so he's interesting. And yeah, it's just really funny and really real. And so if you had kind of a nerd life, especially if you were into the
Okay.
sciences and academics, it's something that really speaks to those people. And I lived a little bit of the life of scientist, and I'm still a nerd. So it's just like
Right,
it was
right.
great. Just
Right,
really,
right.
yeah, right. So yeah, especially if you grew up in high school as a nerd and you're an adult,
This speaks to you.
it speaks to you, it speaks to that life. So it's
Okay.
great.
Okay. That's cool. I might check it out. My week was pretty slow, but that's good. I had a lot of work to do, got it done. I was like, I got this new expensive computer, still devastated that I had to buy it. Why did this happen to me? Yeah, but got a lot of work done and I'm really looking forward to kind of a slower week. One of my friends was down here from Toronto. I haven't seen her in years. And we got to catch up last night over wine, which is why I'm a little tired. Tanya and I are like recording pretty early because we usually record in the afternoon, but we're recording like early after daylight savings and after I, who barely ever drink, had a couple glasses of wine. So we're gonna see what happens today.
Yay. Yeah,
We might.
I have a pretty full day today, so Tracy did me this huge favor of getting up early in the morning to do this recording. So thank you.
It's all good. I actually had something to do before this on camera. Like it was just a lot. So today is already happening and we are here.
Yes, we are here shifting for y'all.
We are. Let's talk about performance of the week before we break down the week.
Oh, well, there are several performances that I enjoyed. Again, shout out to Kirsten Storms.
Oh, yeah.
Spinelli and Maxie were amazing. Just, Spinelli interacting with Ava, you know, Maxie interacting with Cody and Sasha. And then coming together and being interrogated by the cops. Maxie trying to wiggle her way out of being arrested because of, you know, giving shout out to Jagger Cates and remembering him and talking about her dad. And he was just like, whatever, I'm just going, you just say hi to your dad and tell him I apologize for arresting you. So it was just like that. They had a really great week. And I think with this new direction, like I said last week, and I believe the new writers, are really writing very well.
The new, I mean, well, Chris and Dan are still credited, but I don't know what's happening with the breakdown writers. But yeah, you can feel the different direction.
You can definitely tell the direction is different. Kristen Storms is shining right now. And so it's been really great. You know, I know some people feel in some kind of way about Jason's return and Jason and Carly dynamic, but they made me shed a tear with this reunion. I loved it. And so, you know, shout out to Laura Wright and Steve Burton on that return. It was like really powerful, I think, especially when, you know, Carly had to tell him that Bobby was dead. Oh my God. So that was really tough. I enjoyed the performance of the ensemble around Dante and the hospital thing. I think it's classic soap. Waiting for a main character to wake up when you know he's going to wake up. A lot of people are thinking, oh my God, if they kill off Dante, it's going to be horrible. I'm like, they're not going to kill off Dante. So, no, they're not. So it's just classic, you know, waiting in the hospital, recalling how wonderful person that person is. Was a little on the nose with the whole, you know, cop propaganda, but I think it was still great, you know, acting from them all. So, you know, shout out to the hospital waiting room ensemble. I thought there were some great scenes with, you know, Sonny, one, kind of reconciling with his guilt over Dante being in the hospital. Also, a little bit still, I think Sonny's still in denial about, you know, what a horrible person he was in the past, but still some great scenes, you know, remembering Stone and with, you know, Jagger. Big denial. I thought that was great. I also thought Mara West did great scenes, you know, trying to navigate this whole new Sonny relationship with Nina in the hospital. It was like really like very interesting and very like she was like feeling all kinds of feelings like, oh my God, should I be loyal to my friend? What's going on with Sonny type thing? So it was a pretty interesting week, I thought.
But I love when
pulled you out some great
entire cast.
And I love them. Like, no, yeah, every single one had great scenes. Yeah, I love the scenes with Chase and Brooklyn too. I liked it.
I love it when you do that because, like, for me, it's just like a reminder that this is a good, like, this show can be really good. Because, like, there's some weeks where we're like, ooh, who was it? And this week it was like, okay, no, there was some good stuff. I would say I agree with you on Kristen. I love her. I have loved her forever. I'd, like, tweeted about her this week. I saw her and her daughter went to, like, Disney. And her daughter took a picture in front of, like, a Xenon, like, a pop-up. And I was like, oh, my God, we're old. Your baby is, like, watching this thing that was, like, really important to me when I was younger. Oh, my God.
And that must be such a surreal experience watching your child watching you.
Yeah.
And one of your most famous, characters. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was really cute. So I was just like, I don't know. I just had to tweet out some appreciation for her because I'm like, she has been in my life for so long. Grew up watching Days. And so that teen scene was like the teen scene when I was their age. You know what I mean? So, like, Bill and Sean, like, that was, like, my ship, you know, growing up, my soap ship. That was my age. I mean, I loved Bo and Hope. I loved all this other stuff. But that was, like, oh, these are my age. This is, like, my peers. So I loved that. And then I loved Carly's fake acting within the acting. Like when when Anna and Jagger came over,
Jason's alive? No, get out of my house.
Like, I loved it. I cracked up the whole time. So, like, shout out to Laura Wright for that, mm-hmm. because it was very skillful, masterful. Anna, like, acting, like, Finola acting off of her. I know that I heard Finola saying that she wanted to work with Laura Wright more. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I would like to see it because I really loved their dynamic. It was just, like, among my favorite this week. So,
mm-hmm. that was great too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stuff happening.
Yeah.
Well, let's break it down story by story.
Bam. Well, I mean, so let's just call, like, this overarching thing Jason's return. And mm-hmm. here's why I like that, because this feels like a true umbrella story. Mm-hmm. That there are so many things that are happening as a result of his return. Mm-hmm. So the first thing is warehouse shooting. So Selena Wu, Sunny meet up, Ava's there, police roll in, like, oh, what are y'all doing? Which I didn't understand. I was like, how is this illegal? How did y'all, like, run in and raid this?
I know, but I understand why they did it. I mean, like, this is opportunity to catch these, you know, notorious gangsters in the act. They have to be up but to how something did you no get a good. Warrant?
Like it's anyway, it was just like, I was like, okay, suspend disbelief, Tracy, suspend disbelief. Mm-hmm. But then a shot rings out. Sunny gets, like, a bullet goes past him because we see that Jason helped him as the sniper was going. So now we know Jason is, like, kind of on Sunny's side. Mm-hmm. Right? Dante runs off. First of all, where's your partner, Dante? That's a whole nother thing. And he gets shot. And Jason helps him. So let's talk about the warehouse stuff first. Mm-hmm. Selena Wu, when she was mad at Anna for putting down her warehouse, I cracked up.
She's like, I run a respectable
establishment. How dare you?
And I also have to give a shout out to Selena Wu. I mean, mm-hmm. her acting against, you know, Mora West and Sunny, and then, you know, Anna this week. She's amazing. I'm glad that she was back. I'm glad she wasn't necessarily arrested or anything or shot. So, because that means she's still going to be on the canvas.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So I like that.
I was surprised that they got right into it. Because, like, mm-hmm. I mean, we still don't know where Jason's been. And I know that people were like, we have all these questions. Like, I've just kind of been reading on, like, you know, how people have been like, taking it. I don't actually mind having a bunch of questions. Mm-hmm. And I appreciate that we know that he is not, like, just completely working against Sunny. The last time Steve came back as Jason, when we had, like, Drewson basically on the canvas, mm-hmm. it took a long time. Mm-hmm. You know, they felt like they had to explain it. They were like, oh, you're in this hospital, and then Ava has to help you get back, and then this and that and this and that. This one was, like, straight to the point. We saw his face. Everybody saw his face on the drone. He went straight to car, like, we know that he's here and they're not dragging it out. And I appreciate that because we know, like, in this world where we know we see things, we actually don't need them to, like, slow walk a return. So I appreciated that.
I was shocked, actually, because as he was, like, literally in the second scene, I was like, oh my God, he's just, like, right there. Right. Like, and then I was not expecting that. I thought he would be in the very last scene, and then we'd have to wait till Tuesday to mm-hmm. figure out why he was there or what was going on. He was there the second scene, so I was shocked, and I agree with you. I appreciated that immediate, because they're like, you know, everybody knew it was going to happen. It's been talked about. It's been in the media, so we knew we were going to see him that day. But I didn't think we would see him the whole time that day. So that was awesome. I like mm-hmm. that.
I also really thought it was funny that when the shot rang out, everybody was behind their little crate. Yeah. Dante and Chase, like, sharing the baby crate. Everybody pulling out their guns, except for Selena Wu. Selena Wu was like, I don't need to pull out a gun, okay? I am protected. I have a bodyguard. I don't know what kind of ghetto shit y'all on over here. That you got to protect yourself. pull out your own gun. You pull out the gun for me.
Right.
I was like, that's why Selena wore a real one. Ava right. even had her little baby Glock.
Ava's always strapped, so it don't matter. She's like, I'm ready to go.
I got the thing on me. I was like, oh, we mobbing. And mm-hmm. it was such a clip because I've talked a lot about how like the mob doesn't work without Jason. And Sunny mm-hmm. kind of does. It's hard for Sunny to work without Jason. So it was interesting that it was like, as soon as Jason back, we in the warehouse, we mobbing. And it feels like we mobbing.
Right. I loved it. Yeah, I think it was interesting to see when that shot rang out and Jason kind of moved the arm of the yeah. sniper. Because one, at first he looked like he was, yeah, I'm here. I'm supposed to be here. Somebody's about to get shot tonight. Somebody's going to be killed. But then as soon as the gun is pointed at Sunny, something, I don't know if something clicked within him where, yeah, because we still have questions about whether or not he is brainwashed into doing this or if he's doing this of his own accord. So I couldn't necessarily tell if his brainwashing kind of snapped off and then he was like, no, or if he was been doing this of his own accord and decided to change his mind. That's still a question for me, but yeah. I think it's, I thought it was interesting. And then, you know, after the shot rang out, he's like, okay, well, you missed, it's time to go. He's still working with this dude in some kind of way, you know? So it's an interesting thing. I don't know how they're going to yeah. explain that.
You don't know if I think he's brainwashed because right. technically this is the third time he saved Sunny.
Yeah.
Or the thought process is that like Jason was there during the first shot, like that they took
yeah.
him. They shot Curtis, which we'll talk about. Then the second one was in Puerto Rico.
Yeah,
basically like Sunny didn't get hit again, and then right. the third shot is him like making sure Sunny doesn't get hit again. So I do yeah. wonder if it's a brainwashing thing or if Jason is being forced to do this
right.
and is like saving Sunny in the process.
Yeah,
and Sunny and Jason are each other's like soulmates. Mm-hmm. All right, like, and I for me, I keep saying, and I keep saying to Tara, who I've been talking to a lot about the show lately, that I think that they are leaning back into nostalgia. Like, this is why we get Spixie. This is why we're getting Jason back. With like, this is why we're not seeing, like, some sort of, big confrontation. He's going to Carly. Like, we are seeing people return to form. Return to, like, the formula that they think has worked in the past. And so I don't think we're going to see some long haul drama between Sunny and Jason. I think that like it's going to be something that eventually gets like, you know, figured out pretty quickly because a lot of people don't want to see drama between Sunny and Jason. Like the longtime viewers of this show are people who really love the two of them, that friendship.
But then there's also the question of, like, when he did his interview about him coming back, he said he's going to play Jason differently. Mm-hmm. And then, but it seems like he's not necessarily actually playing him differently so far. So he's like protecting Sunny. His first go-to is to go to Carly. He's like taking care of Dante to make sure Dante is okay. So it seems like he's still kind of the same Jason. Again, it's only been 2 or 3 days, so we don't know how Jason is going to be different. But so right. far, he's coming back as who he was before, character-wise and, you know, kind of like acting-wise. So we'll see.
Maybe he'll see his kids and that'll be different.
Maybe that'll be different. Yeah, I don't know, but we're going to see, you know, so yeah.
I would also say I think that for me, I feel like seeing all the behind the scenes stuff of like Steve Burton talking about being back, mm-hmm. he really does feel like grateful and happy to be back. Mm-hmm. And I personally think it's come through in his performance.
Right.
Like this. Yeah. Anyway, I think it's come through in his performance.
Mm. I'm wondering. Oh, go so ahead. Kind of a little bit, you know, behind the scenes. I'm wondering if there's been some level of growth within Steve Burton. In terms of when he left and when he came back, if he's actually a different person as well. Like from what I'm hearing, just basically via the media and you know, word of mouth, I think there's a difference between why Steve Burton is back versus Ingo Rademacher. Ingo Rademacher doesn't seem to be changing at all, and he's doubling down, and he's, you know, all of this. And so I'm wondering if that's the case, and if so, then, you know, cool. Everyone's also wondering, like, what's it going to be like for him and Nancy Legrand and all this other stuff. I don't know, but it seems like for the most part, the cast is welcoming back, and he's feeling good to be back. And so if that's the case, then cool.
I mean, Nancy and I have my issues with her, but I think she's a good actress. And I think that she has played really well against people, whether she's liked them or not. I know her and Carolyn Hennessy have very different politics as Diane and Alexis, as like individual people, as actresses, but as Diane and Alexis, I think that their chemistry is spot on and they're great together. I think the only time I've ever seen like any real like tension is like that last scene she had with Ingo when she was still in jail.
Yeah,
I was like, woo. But I think that there's like the difference, because Steve Burton never down talked Disney. He never down talked ABC. He was like, look, I made this decision. It's a decision I wholeheartedly disagree with. Like, get that vax. And like, he was just like, I made this decision. You know, this is my family. I'm going to miss them. I also think that like, he was not well received at Days. Days has a lot of its own behind the scenes stuff going on. They put him with Tamara Braun's character. And I think they were trying to do like a Jarley kind of like AU over there. And it didn't work. So I do think that like, that's humbling to like see people drag you and be like, I don't want you here. Yeah. To go back to, because you know, soap fans are fickle. It's always going to be that question of like, why does this person get all of these scenes when my faves aren't on? That kind of stuff. And so to go back home when like people have never stopped asking about Steve Burton.
Right.
People have never stopped asking about Jason. If you look at like comments on Instagram, I've looked at, I mean, I know that we're both in like some Facebook groups and we see stuff. So there's like the conversation that happens with like some grouping. And then there's like the conversation that happens amongst the whole like fandom, like as a whole, not just one social media site, not just one message board, not just one whatever. The fandom as a whole has been asking about Jason. So, and then, you know, he also has ignited, like, already people getting in their corners for those relationships, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, pushing for their ships. Like, he has not done anything. We don't know anything about where he's been. And people are like, but he needs to be with my girl, whoever your girl happens to be. So,
and even more fascinating, they're bringing the kids into it, you know, liaison kid versus, you know, Sam kid. I mean, it's just like, y'all really? That's crazy.
I've already told you, I've already done my part back in the early aughts. I will not be re-entering the fray of a Jason Dick war. I refuse. May the force be with you all, but I will not be there. Well, let's talk about, okay, so the other part of Jason's return, I really want to get into this with you because I want to know how you felt about Jagger versus Sunny talking about Karen. When I tell you, so let me say I was very disappointed. I was disappointed in the way that Sonny defended himself, because we have seen this show on several occasions look back into the past and say, oh yeah, that was messed up. And here's how we move forward, and here's how we now talk about it. We saw it with them like finally rectifying Luke and Laura. Every time they had tried to in the past, it was a fail. And finally, when she talked about it with Kevin, it felt like, okay, this is some resolution to like this story that's been like over the head of this show forever. And we saw it with Bobby. We saw it with, you know, that she was not able to consent, that people didn't care about her, that, like, people should have protected her. And then, like, even at the end of her life, when they sent her off, she was, like, helping people who were in her same position. And I thought that was extremely beautiful. So to have Sunny, like, do this revisionist history, like, well, I was helping Karen. No, you weren't. You weren't. You were not. And I think, and, you know, I hate the whole, like, as a father of a young girl, right? I hate that. But I think that would have been more appropriate than what he said. To be like, look, I know I fucked up with Karen. I know I did. And this is where I've been, and this is how I've grown since then. My sister Courtney was on the pole, like, and I was mad about that. Like, you know, I have these daughters who I want to protect. This thing happened to my stepdaughter, Jocelyn, where she was, like, exploited. And I see the error in this, and I'm more than this mistake I made. And I would have felt, like, really, I would have felt really bought into that. This, like, oh, I ain't do nothing wrong. Yes, you did. What are we talking about? And I don't know. That really bothered me. How did you feel about the scene overall? And
okay, well, the scene overall, I was first of all, I was impatient over Jagger bringing it up again. While they're in the middle of this, trying to find the shooter, you know, I was all like, let's find the shooter. Let's get back to Jason. Let's do that. So I was impatient that he brought it up yet again. So that was that. And that may have been a director's decision or whatever. It would have been, I was just so engrossed in the drama and the action that I was like, why are they bringing up this again? But if we're looking at the argument in of itself, as a Sunny fan, I was thinking of him defending himself as, okay, so maybe it was true from his point of view that he was trying to help Karen, because I didn't actually see those storylines. I saw the storyline when he was helping out Stone and Robin. I did not see the storylines of, you know, Karen or any of all that stuff. I actually wasn't really watching when Jagger was on. So I didn't actually see what Sunny did, right? Mm-hmm. I only know Sunny's point of view and I know Jagger's point of view. But then somebody on Twitter actually posted a scene where Sunny and Karen were talking because Karen was leaving him, right? Mm-hmm. And Sunny was an asshole. He was like, you know, he was like, you know, you're worthless or something like that. He was speaking to her in a way where he actually did not give a damn about her. It was all about him and what he needed. And she was like, no, I'm a good girl. I'm this and I'm that. And he was calling her, you know, a slut or something. And I was like, okay, so this dude is in heck of denial because he was a jerk. He was using her and he did not care about her at all, at least in those scenes, right? And so I'm thinking, yeah, you're right. He is in serious denial. He's not owning up to how horrible he was to Karen. And then I started feeling some kind of way about Ava saying, well, you know what? I believe you. Because I'm like, you shouldn't, because he was actually a horrible person to this woman. And it may be because Ava, again, wasn't on the scene when that happened and she's tending to believe Sunny. But there is also this feeling where, you know, really you should believe the victim more than you should believe the perpetrator, because women tend to not lie about these things. And so as a woman, Preach. Her automatically coming to his side, I felt some kind of way. And then, you know, actually seeing those scenes and then going back and watching it again, I was like, oh, yeah, this is not cool. And so for the writers to play it that way, I feel some kind of way. Yeah, I don't feel good about it. Yes, at all.
I would say, I mean, I was mad that Ava said that too. I think that part of the difference is that, like, she was believing Sunny over Jagger. So, like, if Karen or a woman was saying this and then Ava was like, I don't believe you, I think I would have felt deeper about that. But I hated the backup of, like, oh, I know you wouldn't do this. When really, I actually think it's important to interrogate Sonny's history. And it doesn't mean that you don't like him as a character. It means that, like, this is something that actually happened. Mm-hmm. Like, what Jagger was saying was correct. That you came in, you were this character, and then Stone happened, and you got a lot of respectability on that.
Based off of that.
Yeah, like, that is actually how Sonny, and we've talked about this. Basically, Jagger sounded like me, and I hated that because I don't like Jagger.
Right.
But it's like, you know, and the, like, Sonny and Stone's relationship was extremely touching and really important at the, for the and especially at the time. But even now, it's important, that story is important, because you have Sonny, who's supposed to be this, like, gangster, who a lot of people would have expected to be like, Stone, get away from me, or questioning how he got sick or whatever. And instead of doing that, he became a caregiver and someone who we saw the softness in. So that is how Sonny got respectability on the show, from both the town and the audience, because that's always been Sonny's bit, like, you know, back and forth, that he is this, like, mobster with a heart of gold. Like, he makes these mistakes and he gets toxic, but you then remember how he was with Stone and Robin. You then remember how he was with other, like, people who he has, like, very special relationships with. I think that was, like, part of the reason that, like, some of us who were Spencer fans were really frustrated around, like, the relationship between, like, adult Spencer and Sonny felt like it was lacking. Because even that relationship with younger Spencer was like, oh, you get to see this softness. They always write characters in these daughters he has with Avery and Donna. You see this softness where it's like, yes, of course, we know that Sonny does these horrible things. And we also see him in his family. It's like he is the anti-hero. And for me, he works the anti-hero. Part of the bigger problem with GH, as the, I think for overall, but especially post-Jason, is that they wanted him to be the hero. So even now, Anna's still capping for him. Why? Why make Anna do that? That's, like, the whole scene was so inappropriate, because you have Jagger... To your point, this is a shootout. Get out your feelings. This is not the place to do this. You're actually an agent. You should be doing something else. Dante over here getting shot while you shouting down his daddy. Go find something to do. Like, you have Anna, like, getting teary-eyed over this. And so it does prove that she has, like, this very emotional attachment to this story, to this character, to all of that. So, like, I just think that it was good to interrogate Sonny's history. I think that part of the problem with the show lately has been that everybody has tried to make Sonny work. That he's, like, in there with Anna. He was in there with Laura. He was in there with everybody. People were like, he's such a good family man. I'm so happy for him. I'm so this, I'm so that. When enough people weren't keeping that same heat for him. And so this is, like, a revision, or, like, a revisiting of people having heat for him, which is good. Because then we can then see, despite all of that, here is why he's important, and here are the good things that he's done.
Yeah, agree. Yeah. I think it's interesting that he has like shown growth in his actions and his behavior, but he's still in a denial about how bad he was. And I think it would be interesting for him to actually come. He needs to come to Jesus moment about how horrible he was beforehand, because he could say, yes, I was that person. I was evil. I was, you know, horrible to Karen. But and you're right, because of what happened with Stone, I grew as a person, and people in my community see that. And that's what you should recognize. Jagger, and if you don't recognize it, then that's fine. You can hate me for the rest of your life, whatever. But he's not at that point where he can actually own up to where, you know, he was actually a very much a villain back in the day. Mm-hmm. And so that's still where he could use some growth and, you know, internal, you know, thinking about.
Yeah. 100%. Because, like I said, you know, Sonny is an anti-hero. I also think, you know, we are beyond, we are like, I think as a society growing beyond the anti-hero, and that's why they don't know what to do with Sunny. Because there was really a time when that was like the whole move, that it was like Breaking Bad and Sopranos, even in some ways like Loki in like the Marvel movies, that he was like the god of mischief. Like, we rooted for these like characters who were really, really complicated, who were like, we are seeing their story, we understand their perspective, but like they are doing horrible things and we're like engrossed and we're involved. And so when the town didn't like Sunny, or when Sunny was getting smoke everywhere he went, it was like, cool, that works and that balances this character out. When he becomes like man of the people is when it's like, what the hell's going on here? So anyway, we'll see. I think that part of that other problem is that Sunny was like doing so much of his dirty work. It used to be that Sunny would just like sit in the office and people would come and tell him things were done. Like Jason was in the field. Now you have him like showing up to places, like threatening people. It's like, bro, you are a boss. What is happening? Go to your office. Find somebody to do this for you.
Yeah. Don't need him to be the one actually interrogating suspects, stringing people up. I'm never forgotten. I don't know. Dex, I don't know if the show is forgotten, if you have forgotten, but dude, don't forget, he has you on a meat hook. I'm not forgetting.
So. And he took you to the Pine Barrens.
And took you to the, yeah.
So, Dante, shot. I know this is supposed to be so difficult for you. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, it was difficult for me. And, you know, I actually, for those of you out, well, nobody knows but me and Tracy, but I had to come up with a new scene. Because and I was confused. There were some people who were confused. He was clearly wearing a vest, a bulletproof vest. Mm-hmm. But he got shot and the bullets pierced the vest. And I'm just like, what kind of shoddy equipment they got my man Dante wearing? He's gonna like the bullets just went through the I was like, I don't understand. I was hurt.
The Jex girl, and he said just, he had a sheen vest.
Yes. Like, and I was like, what the hell? They ended up explaining it.
Yeah.
Further on, that these were actually bullet piercing, or like these kind of bullets that are specialized to pierce through vest. I was like, well, damn. Okay, so there's no protection. But anyway, he got shot and he was pretty bloody and he was all, it was just like so sad. And so there was no, there's, I had dreamed up a scenario where Nurse Love will come in, give him a sponge bath. He's not at that place right now. He is still in critical condition. His chest is too bloody. A sponge bath would have been inappropriate. So I had to come up with a new scene. And so I came up with a scene. Can I share the scene?
Obviously you can.
Right. So right now, Dante has come out of surgery. He's still in critical condition. Mm-hmm. I think he's still in a place where he's in danger. He has lost a lot of blood, right? Mm-hmm. He may not be recovering, you know, fully recovering from the surgery and whatever transfusion they needed for the surgery. He's still losing blood. He's going to need another transfusion. And they ran out of his type. And so they're going to be asking people, we need people to give blood. Chase was already ahead, thinking ahead that he needs to give blood because he needed something to do. He was just, you know, all up in arms in his feelings. He's like, I need to do something. So he goes and gives blood. But I foresee that there's going to be a call to action asking everyone to give blood, and no one's a match.
Right.
Except doon 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 Dex. And why is Dex a match?
Why?
Because doon 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 Dex is his son. So that's the scene. We won't know this right away, but that's what's gonna happen. Everyone's gonna have to give blood, and Dex is the only match.
That's right. I love our delusional Daddy Dante agenda. I'm bought in. Let's do it.
You know, and I was thrown for a little bit of a loop because they aged up Rocco. I was thinking, you know, Rocco's still a kid, so he's not going to be tested. But apparently now he's a moody teenager, so he could be tested. But still, I think no one's going to be a match except for Dex.
Rocco being a giant.
Right.
Who's this girl being?
Right.
The Sante family, adorable. Yeah. Adorable. Olivia with the full circle. With them like flashing back to Sonny, you shot your own son. I was like, iconic. Iconic behavior.
I was actually misled because I, you know, when I turned on the show, my TV gives a little bit of a description of what the show is going to be like. And then in the description, it said Olivia and Sonny reconnect. So when that came in and she was already on site for Sonny, you did this? Did you have something to do with this? You again and blah, blah, blah. She was mad. She was pissed. She went off on him. And then I was like, I don't see how they're reconnecting. I don't understand this. But then they actually do reconnect. After she has her flash of anger, she goes into the church and then, you know, she apologizes or whatever and they pray together. And so it's all good. But I was like confused over that description. I was like, Olivia ain't reconnecting with nobody. She's pissed. So
somebody I follow, so this Black woman who like watches the show, but she also talks about other things. She tweeted something like, Sonny, stay on the main line. I know Jesus tired of him.
Stay on the main line. He do. He's like, I noticed this time he didn't promise anything. Because usually every time he's like, I promise, I'm going to change, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. This time he was just like, Lord.
And it was particularly funny because I was just like tweeting and like looking at tweets about the election. So when that came up, I was like, what is this? You know what I mean? And it just like really took me down. I was like, oh my God, that's so funny.
You do. God be like, okay, what you want now?
You dude? Again?
You again.
My goodness. That's really funny. So let me say about Dante being shot. I was really mad. I was like, what's happening here? Oh, hold on. I love that I had to sneeze. Sorry, y'all. I'm not cutting that out. As I don't know how to edit. I was like, what's happening here? Why is nobody like looking for him? So Chase was like, I secured the scene, I called for backup, blah blah blah. And then he didn't even check to see if it got there. Like, literally, when Dante was getting shot or like bleeding out on the pier, he was like questioning Selena Wu.
Yeah, like, I was like, didn't. And it was interesting because I'm like, nobody heard the shots go off.
There was a silencer.
It wasn't a silencer. So yeah, why didn't anybody hear? And why didn't Chase hear? You know, it's like really crazy to me that, you know, Dante was just chilling on the pier for however long he was and no cop came in and chased after him, was like, what's going on? So that was really interesting. And then, you know, Chase was reporting to Anna, you know, Dante told me to go and secure the scene. And so I came back here. I was like, okay, that explains it. Because everybody was like, why was Dante alone? Shoddy police work there, I think.
Yeah. I also just, I mean, like, let's go getting back to Sante. I didn't get enough of them. I don't know, like, what the direction was or why, but it felt like Sam was there like solely as an Olivia support. We didn't really get a lot of like point of view from her. It was like really, I don't know, it was like a little disjointed for me in like the way they shot that. But I did love like their family showing like how strong the bonds are. That there was like that little fight between Rocco and Danny, and then Carly talking to Danny, it's never going to not blow my mind how people keep talking about Jason as if like he wasn't brain damaged. All of the impulsive stuff that Danny has, the moody stuff, that's from Sam. We've seen Sam, we know.
Right.
But then when they went back and they did like the little lean on each other, I said, oh, brothers. I loved it. It was very cute.
That was cute.
Yeah, it was very, very cute. And it just like reminded me how much we miss out on having the young people around more. Mm-hmm. Like, that's actually really important part of the story. Their bond, like, tells a really important story about what how Sante's family is. Rocco being like, I'm gonna stay for Scout. I was like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna stay for Scout. You know, like, I just really, really enjoyed seeing how Sante, like, seeing the love that Sante has for each other, like, reflected through their family.
Mm-hmm. It was funny. That Laura had a scene with Rocco and she connected with him through video games. Mm-hmm. And folks were like, somebody on Facebook was like, Laura, Super Mario Brothers is old. I was like, first of all, y'all don't know gaming. Super Mario is old, but he still keeps being redone, re-upped. So many iterations of his game. He is current. He stay current. He got movies about him. Y'all don't even know what you're talking about. Y'all old people talking about Laura being old, talking about old stuff. Y'all don't know. He's got Mario Kart, and Mario Kart is one of the most popular games ever.
Right.
And so it is definitely plausible that Laura could have played that game back in the day and could still connect with her grandkids around exactly. Super Mario. So yeah, y'all tripping. I was like,
y'all saying bad about something.
Right. Just want to be mad about anything. So... And, you know, it's fine. Like, yeah, Super Mario's are great. I will even still play the old school Super Mario because I couldn't really get too. Past. I couldn't really get past level 7. But so, yeah,
I will play Super Mario because I'm also old. But mm-hmm. that's a whole nother thing.
Right.
But I also like I really love Laura, all of Laura's grandkids. Like, she's such an important figure in all of these kids' lives. And I really loved mm-hmm. it. I wanted to be like, wait, is she related to Danny? No, she's not related to Danny. You know what I mean? Like, she's
central. Is she related to almost everybody on there?
All the kids.
All the kids. Every single one of them.
So, flipping back, Sava, Sunny and Ava, rising. Can I just say, I hate that I don't hate it.
Here's that the
chemistry
thing.
Is fire.
It is so fire, but at the same time, I was like, don't do it. I was like, I'm actually kind of glad that they have a really strong parental bond, a really strong mob bond, a really strong friend right now bond. But what I did not want to see was I did not at this point want to see them kiss. But then yeah. It was the same thing when they slept together in the crypt. I was just like, I don't want to see that. That was I don't want to see that. Right. And so again, I was like, why do they always seem to have romantic stuff happen to them in inappropriate places?
In the worst times.
The worst times. I understand it. But I do like the bond that they have. It's an interesting, particular bond. And these are two actually really great actors playing off each other. Mora elevates everybody, 100%. Yes,
100%.
And so it was great. They were great scenes together. And so I think it's interesting. I'm still kind of like holding my vomit almost. because I don't necessarily want to see them together. They do have great scenes together. They do have great chemistry. So it's like, yeah, it's a love-hate type thing right now.
I would say also, I don't see, like, whatever happens with them, I see it being, like, messy and volatile. Like, I don't see them mm-hmm. being some kind of long-term couple that eventually gets married or something.
Right.
I think that one of the reasons that so many people are drawn to it, myself included, is that we don't really get a lot of messy, kind of out of nowhere, flash in the pan relationships. People are like, they like have whatever and then they're together and then it's whatever. We like everybody falls in love. We don't have like just a lot of mess that happens. Mm. And so I think that that's like the draw of it. It's like, oh, this is messy. And
hella
like,
messy.
Right. And you can already see it ending before it starts, but we kind of want it. Because right. I'm going to say that near kiss that turned into a hug with the linger. I said, okay. Okay, Maura and Mo, y'all doing something. I get it. All right.
And I wanted the part of me that wants to see it because it would just so get in the way of Nina. That's what I want. I want Nina to get, I want Nina to get humiliated the way she tried to do Carly. That's what I wanted. Not for the sake of the characters, but because it would just mess with Nina and it would piss everybody off.
It for me, I'm like, you lose him how you get him. Like I said last week, mm-hmm. as the elders once told us.
Right.
And so there's something about Nina that's so interesting that believes that she is better than every other woman he's been with.
Mm-hmm.
And that he wouldn't do to her what he's done to them. And I'm like, oh no, baby, he would definitely do that. Like, definitely. It's one of those things. I just want to, like, take her. I don't even like Nina, but I'm like, girl, let me tell you.
He's I need not you to understand. You. He's not.
He's not different with you. He is the same with you. And, girl, that's not even about you. That's about him. Like, you know what I mean? I don't even like Nina. I just want to pull her inside. Like, girl, that ain't even you. That's that man. This is what
he's special.
Do.
And he's gonna break your heart in ways where you just, like, you come and question your own sanity because that's what he's going to do. And he's done it before. He's been responsible for Carly's mental breakdown. How you think he's not going to mess with you in that same way? Both Carly and Brenda, the real love of his life, Brenda, oh my God, she went into a breakdown herself. It's just he'd be like tearing women down and she thinks she's going to get away unscathed. Oh, hell no. Even Alexis. Everybody.
I'm like, babe, that's not about you. That's about that man. But something that I was actually really struck with, though, is like, I mean, several things, but like part of it is like this difference between Ava and Nina and like this kind of redemption idea. Because I think that they're part of what happens for Nina is that she has suffered from really, really bad writing. And I don't even mean, like, just the stuff that she does, but, like, the way they have her show up. Because I'm thinking about, like, this, like, difference between how people, like, feel about Ava versus how they feel about Nina. So, first of all, Ava, like, very clearly was, like, broken down because I was mad at Ava. Because, you know, like, I love the Carson kids. I'm not necessarily, like, I'm not a Jarley fan beyond their friendship. I love their friendship, but I'm not a fan of that. I'm not even so much a Carson fan, but like that dynamic of the three of them, I've always been a fan of. And so the Carson kids, the Carly kids have always been really important to me. So the role she played in Morgan's death, I said, oh, I'll never forgive you. I was never with it. I was always like, nah, girl. And it took, I mean, first of all, Maura is like such an amazing actress that like, it's hard to like be mad at her, you know, like she's also like a person that you love to hate. Or at the time, they put Maura through the ringer. Denise DiMuccio.
Like, I can't believe that. Right.
Like, you know, dating Ryan, being humiliated. Even I was like, all right, we've had enough.
Like her face being burnt, everything. I mean, her kids hating her, all of that. She's been through the ringer.
She's been through it. And so this idea, and I'm not saying, but like this idea that like Nina shouldn't be through that is like an interesting whatever concept. And so finally, when they got around to being like Morris or like Ava's a complicated character, she has this goodness, she has this roughness. But I would say, I think a lot about the difference between Ava's relationship with Trina and Nina's relationship with Sasha. And so with Nina and Sasha, Sasha kind of never had a story that wasn't about propping Nina and Sunny. Every story that she had was like, oh my God, how do we show up? How does Nina and Sunny fit into it? Even when Brando died, like, it was like, oh my God, Nina's in the waiting room crying with Sasha. Like, you know, it's not about her. It's not about Sasha. It's about Nina as well. When Sasha had her breakdown on the one channel or whatever, the Hearts, Home and Hearts or whatever, like, we see Nina, like, sobbing at her desk. Like, it's always about her. And so even when we see them talking, Nina is not like, Sasha, how are you doing? It's all about Sasha reassuring Nina that she's in her corner, that she's neutral, she's rooting for her, Willow will be back to you. But it's never like, Sasha, how you doing? On the flip side, the relationship with Trina and Ava has always been a grounding force for both of their characters. It gave Trina like this kind of like attachment to the screen that wasn't just Jocelyn, wasn't just her family. It was like this other relationship that was like really important. And for Ava, it gave her like this ability to be really soft and support someone else. So their relationship has not really been about how Trina supports Ava. And even when Trina wants to, Ava's like, that's grown people shit. We here to talk about you. And so we've been able to see like a little bit of that redemption, a little bit of that character arc, a little bit of that softness shine through. And I say that because I think it's such a bad writing issue. And it would have been so much better for Nina's character if we would have seen her in support of Sasha, as opposed to Sasha currently or like constantly in support of her. And Nina's going to be there. She's always going to be on. I don't know what they're going to do with her. Her character feels so annoying.
I think actually the person that would actually have a similar, like that Nina would have a similar relationship with, would actually be Maxie in my eyes. Because she has always been in support of Maxie simply because Maxie was Nathan's, you know.
Yeah.
And Nathan was her brother. That is a more organic mentoring, you know, relationship that works better than Sasha. Because Sasha, there's so much drama behind that. And so much like Sasha feeling guilty and needing to support Nina because what Sasha did to her,
right,
versus just a natural coming together and loving one another and respecting one another the way that Ava and Trina is. And I think for Nina that would be better for Maxie, but Maxie's too grown, doesn't need that kind of stuff, doesn't, and it also doesn't automatically go on Nina's side either. And so she's not the, I guess, just the cheerleader of Nina that Nina needs. Nina needs someone that believes in her, loves her regardless, no matter what she does. And that's not going to happen with Maxine. Right. Right. So, you know, so that's a different, interesting thing. I think for me, it's always about, because Ava has suffered, has grown in a different way. She's still kind of, you know, sometimes be acting bad, Ava, but still love her and, you know, understand her way more than Nina. For me, the interesting conversation I have right now about this is Ava, what Ava is thinking about Jason. Because when Jason came back the first time, Jason actually helped Ava. Mm-hmm. And I would think that Ava would have more, you know, friendly feelings towards Jason that she apparently does. She, right now, she's very skeptical about Jason's loyalty, which surprises me. But at the other hand, it doesn't surprise me as well. So, But I was a little surprised at it that she automatically assumed that Jason is really out to get Sunny and about to kill him. And, you know, so that's an interesting dynamic. I don't know. What do you think about that?
Well,
I know Jason doesn't have any love for Ava, but Ava on the other hand should have different approach to Jason because he was, you know, I don't know. It's interesting.
I was surprised by it mostly because I'm like, it's so clear that Jason's a good shot And Sunny has been missed three times. If Jason was really working again, like I'm trying to understand like why that's not part of the conversation. That like maybe Jason's being forced. Like things were tense between Jason and Sunny, but when he left, but it certainly wasn't tense enough for Jason to want to kill Sunny.
Exactly. So
I feel like the question. Like some of this is like being really forced. Some of this is happening really fast. Like people are not surprised enough to see Jason for me. I'm like, y'all thought he was dead. Anna was literally there when it happened and like said she ran every test and did all these things. So how is she not more surprised? So I don't know. I felt like that was really rushed and like fell flat for me. And that Ava was so insistent. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden was like, well, if you say he's not, he's not.
Right. That's interesting. That was interesting. She automatically said, okay, I'm going to tell you what I think, but I trust you and your judgment. And so, you know, that was interesting because then what it really did was it told Sunny that, okay, here's somebody who's going to be loyal to me right now. Because right now I'm not seeing any kind of loyalty from anybody.
Right, right.
And well, yeah.
Yeah, that's fascinating. I do want to say something about what you said about Maxie, and then I'm going to get into Spixie reunion.
Yeah.
I think that part of what my point around Ava and like the difference of those relationships is that, and it's even some of the problems I have with like Car Sam. Like I love the Carly Sam friendship. Obviously, I'm a fan of both of those characters. So like their friendship is important to me. But so much of their friendship is Carly talking to and at Sam. You don't really get a lot of Sam point of view. You don't really get her supporting Sam. And it feels very one-sided in the scenes that we see. Now, as like a Delulu fan of them, you could always say that, of course, like more happens for them. It's like a whole off-screen universe that we don't see. But like when we see them on, it's really not a like not a give and take. And I would say the same thing is true about anybody in Nina. And so I think that really what she could benefit from is being a sounding board for other people. Where is, like, she's all concerned about Sunny. Where is the concern for your relationship with Willow, your grandchildren? It's so weird. But that's why I'm saying that, like, it's hard because, like, I don't like Nina, obviously, but it's also such a writing issue of, like, what is actually happening with this character. I mean, I guess it is in character hard for her to be, like obsessed with a man, but it does her no favors. And so even with Maxie, it's not about whether or not Maxie would accept her, but it's about, like, Maxie's having these financial problems. Why haven't you helped her? Why haven't you tried to step in and give her something? Why haven't you been like, hey, can you consult for Crimson or whatever it is? Because you're an heiress. You're very rich. Like, she should not be having issues without you trying to figure out. And, like, that is the kind of stuff I think that could help her as a character along that just doesn't happen. Because people love Maxie. I love Maxie. And...
yeah,
I love Spixie.
How did you definitely feel about me? I liked it. I liked it a lot. Especially, you know, after she had some, you know, she had this, you know, conversation with Cody and Sasha.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think, you know, they convinced her to go to Spinelli and, you know, rethink, you know, their relationship. And so I appreciated that. I also appreciated that she told them about themselves. I'm like, how are you going to give me advice and you don't even pay attention?
Right.
I appreciated that. But I liked it because also it puts Maxie back in adventure mode. She used to be involved in some adventures herself. Typically it was with Lulu, but Spinelli used to be involved too. Like, I think Spinelli came to her rescue a couple of times. And so her, you know, that being back in the mix was all, I think that was exciting for Maxie, but also, you know, seeing how romantic again Spinelli is when it comes to her, like him having her name as his password. That was super sweet. Him like trying to be like, I'm not trying to have you be arrested, be not because you're my baby mama or whatever, but because I love you. I was like, oh my God.
I know. It was a shipper's dream.
It was everything. So I loved it. I loved it all. And so it was great. And Maxie being the one that Spinelli confided in, basically, he was supposed to keep all of that a secret, but he was like so like, you know, verklempt about like Jason being back. He needed to confide in someone. And so that being Maxie again, that was very meaningful.
It was interesting to see him kind of snitch, like to save Maxie.
Yes.
Okay.
Because like he's like, all right, fine. Here's my backup. Yeah, you can have it all. Okay, because Sonny will kick his ass, and he knows Sonny. He's afraid of Sonny. Yes. But it didn't matter when it came to Maxie.
Because you know who he didn't do that for? Well, first of all, I was like, was that your password when you were with Ellie? And speaking of Ellie, you couldn't even leave Mobbin alone for your wife, but now you giving up Jason for Maxie?
Right.
Okay.
And then I think Jason would understand it. Sonny won't, but Jason would definitely understand it and be like, okay, you know, because Jason, he doesn't care. Like, I actually have a feeling that Jason will probably give himself up on Monday.
Yeah.
Because that's how much he cares about both Carly and Spinelli. Like, if it comes down to saving them, he'll do it.
Every time.
He'll give himself up.
Every single time.
Yeah.
I loved Maxie's comedic timing. We talked a little bit about it, but like just they have her back in her element. She was so funny. All of her facial reactions, it was like old school Spixie. It just transformed me. Is that the word? Transfix? Anyway, back to transported. There we go.
Transported.
I know words early. but it transported me back to like way back Spixie, where she used to like run up in the penthouse and annoy Jason.
Yes. I can't wait to see that dynamic. Yeah. I cannot wait for it. That's gonna be amazing.
Yeah. I do feel like, and I hope these new sets of head writers like do lean more into relationship. And this is like actually the nostalgia and the relationship that I've been like missing. So I thought it was amazing. And finally, I was going to say the Nathan mention was like really fascinating to me. It was also really fascinating to me that we have not seen Portia go off on Sonny. Or at least have feelings about it, because Portia is sitting here treating Dante for a bullet wound meant for Sonny, the same way Curtis was shot by a bullet that was meant for Sonny. And we had her call Jason, or not Jason, we had her call Curtis and be like, just thinking about you. But we didn't have her like make that connection with like Jordan or anybody. It's just such a lack of point of view. And it was such a miss, in my opinion.
I think there was like only one time where she kind of confronted Sonny and Carly. And I think it was when she first got on the scene.
Yeah.
And she said, you know, she had some feelings about Trina being there. Friends with Joss,
right?
But it made me wonder when you said we haven't seen Portia go off on Sonny, and it's almost as if I don't know if she. I mean, she will go off on everybody, but would she go off on Sonny? Does she fear Sonny or she not fear Cyrus? Sonny enough? She went off. That's what I'm saying. She went off on Cyrus. She went off on Anna. She goes off on everybody, but I've never seen her confront Sonny Corinthos in the same way.
In a way that she should. Like
that she should. Like, yeah.
Reason. Like it's
right.
Weird. It was also weird to have her like talking about Nathan. Look, right. I know people hated Rory. I have like my own feelings about like that character.
Right.
What do you mean? Have you ever been here before? He wasn't shot, but Rory was hooked and killed in this hospital. Portia, he dated your daughter. Like, what are you doing with Nathan mentions when...
Exactly.
Like, just Nathan mentions when we've actually been here with another cop. And I do really feel like... as we talk about diversity on the show, we can't not talk about them disappearing people like Rory. The fact that Cassandra James, who plays Terry, just put up a post like, this is the first time in like a year I'm on set. Like, when you disappear people and like diversity doesn't show up across the board, it's hard for it to show up at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little bit when we get into Black Hospital, but Heather,
generally white hospital.
generally white hospital. Oh, is that the thing now?
No. Somebody resurfaced an article of where old Portia.
That's right.
She did an interview after Jordan. She was cut. Old Jordan. She did an interview after she was cut, and she called it generally white hospital. So, which cracked me up. I was like, dude, is that a new term? But no, because the article was from like 2 years ago. And so it was like, it was cracking me up, but it's so true. So
if you're watching, I keep going off the frame to like sneeze.
Okay, so here's the ironic thing, right? I sneezed just before we started recording, and I said, you know, my allergies are probably going to act up. I'm probably going to sneeze a lot. And here it is. Tracy's the one that's been sneezing. I haven't sneezed since.
Eyes are watering. You can't see it because my glasses are so big. My allergies are kicking my behind.
So non-Bay Area fans, we've had just a really kind of strong rain spell, but then now it's sunny and it's a little windy. And so pollen is probably going crazy in the Bay Area right now.
If I wasn't so dark skinned, shout out to the melanin, my nose would be red.
But like, it's hilarious. I think it's so hilarious that I sneezed once and then just the suggestion making Tracy sneeze all over the place. It's crazy.
Contagious through Zoom. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. My God. But I feel like it's so weird because I'm keeping it like off screen. I'm going to take a Benadryl after this because you know what happens when you take that Benadryl.
You knocked out. Take you a nap.
So finally, wrapping up Jason, Jarlee reunion. So obviously Jason went right to Carly's house with that gunshot. There was like a lot of conversation about where he would go. I was like, it's clear he's going to go to Carly.
Yeah, that's not no question. I don't even know why there was a debate. No.
I don't like the Jarlee romance. I felt like it looked incestuous to me. So I'm like, I think of y'all as besties, siblings, not whatever this was. But my goodness, Steve and Laura did it for me. I loved the reunion. I loved her reaction. I loved that there was no questions asked. It was just what completely understood. Let me bandage you up. I loved it.
It was perfect. Yeah. I agree. I'm not excited about seeing a Jarlee relationship as far as them actually being together, but they are, I think, essential to each other mm-hmm. as friends, as brother, sister, whatever it is that they have. It's too important. And it's like, that's not something that's going to go away. And mm-hmm. everybody has had to reconcile with it. All of Carly's relationships had to reconcile with Jason, vice versa. So that's never going to end. And it wasn't surprising. It shouldn't have been surprising that he went to her. And Anna knew. Anna's like, yeah.
It was fascinating that she, she's like, well, Sunny, Sam, Carly. Which is the correct order, to be honest. Maybe Sam and Carly flip-flop sometimes. So I saw somebody, somebody who is like me, who likes a lot of the same things I like. I was chatting with them and they were like, Carly is Jason's soulmate and Sam is the love of his life.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's actually a really great way to put it. Mm-hmm. I will also say the petty in me, like the old school early aughts petty, cannot allow Liaison to stand. I do not want to see it. I hated Liaison when it was on. I every time I see Jason with that long hair, I'm like, look at him with that Liaison menacing hair. I hated it. And it was interesting because I saw a little bit of conversation. I think maybe you even told me, somebody was saying, maybe Sandra, somebody was telling me there was conversation about maybe Jason would go to Liz. Because Sandra is like agenda shipping Liaison. I was like, we can't be friends. But So Sandra was like, maybe he'll go to Liz's house, because there was a spoiler before about somebody from Liz's past showing up that never came into fruition.
Mm-hmm.
And so,
I mean, it could be Jason still, but it doesn't mean that they're interacting.
Right. But it also, I think it was like a daily that just never happened. So it might have been something. I don't know. Yeah. But my thing was like, I don't deny like the it was like love between Liz. The reason like Liaison versus JSAM was so contentious is because everybody had points. Right? Like, if it was like just 100% like, oh, it's my girl, it's your girl, it's whatever, like, it wouldn't be fun, or it wouldn't be even still something to talk about. They have points. I just don't want to see it. But I also would say that, like, when it comes to showing up with no questions asked, Liz ain't that girl for him. Liz has called the police on Jason more than once. When I remember, even back when I first started watching, after Carly was in the panic room and they found out it was Rick, Liz was like, oh my God, Jason, don't hurt Rick. And she was about to go call the police on him then. And then she obviously, you know, had him locked up over Franco. So I'm not saying, like, Liz is just not your ride or die. She's not the person that you could just show up bloody on her doorstep and get, like, stitched up, because she's going to be asking you all the questions. Liz also just snitched on Nicholas, who was her oldest friend. So I'm just saying that when you want, like, yo, no questions asked, ride or die, it's never going to be Liz is never going to be that person that you go to. It's just right. Not.
Never.
So.
Ever. It wouldn't have shocked me if Jason went to Sam, but it definitely would have pissed me off if he went to Liz. I would have been like, oh, hell no.
I was like, when Sitch was like, I'm agenda shipping, or she was, they were like, I want Liz, because she, you know, she likes Sante, and then doesn't want Jarley. So they were like, I'm shipping Liaison. And I was like, I can never. No. I'm willing to blow up every ship I've ever liked in the world so that mm-hmm. will happen.
Right.
I don't want to see it.
The only way that I want there to be some dynamic between Jason and Liz is if Liz starts being obsessed with him again and dumps Finn. And then Jason's like, yeah, it's not going to happen. But yeah, you probably shouldn't be with Finn either. So I don't know.
That's but amazing.
That's the only thing. Yeah, that's the only thing. You know, Liz, because Liz tends to be, when she falls for somebody or she feels that she's falling for someone, she gets obsessed with them. And she, you know, she acts up and does crazy stuff. So if that's going to be the case when Jason comes back, fine. As long as Finn and Liz aren't together again, whatever. It's great.
Amazing. Hilarious. Yeah. Anyway, Jolly reunion, loved it. No notes. Thought it was great. Looking forward to more. And if I could have one wish, it would be that it wasn't romantic. Let them be friends. I love the Jarley friendship. I really, really do. Okay, let's speed through some of these other things. Because we've been talking a lot about Jason, which, you know, is right. Heather attacks Cyrus.
That was shocking. I was like, what? What's going to happen? But, you know, my main thought about all this is about redeeming Cyrus in some kind of way. And I don't know. I don't think that's possible. I think he's one of those that just can't really be redeemed. I can't really take him seriously. I always find him to be either the villain or the comedy. And it's never going to be like, yes, Cyrus is redeemed and he can get back into society and he can do regular things. No.
No. No, absolutely not. No. Heather with the bone saw. Girl, where'd you get this?
Oh my God. That was the craziest thing ever. I was like, where did she get that thing? And I was like, why is it in the hospital? And then I was just like, okay, so I can see why amputations, but still, how did she get access to it?
Like, her telling Laura that she hit her too hard. Laura, what you doing? Like, it was, Heather is pure comedy. But I will say this. And this is also because I was like talking to Sandra. Like, I feel like I've been talking to them and a couple other people about the show a lot. I am annoyed that Esme continues to get like all of this mourning and Spencer does not. It's very weird. And I'm the kind of person I can try to like understand why. I'm like, okay, they have been really clear that he's coming back. So, you know, how do you have Trina like grieve and coming back soon? Right. So if you like lean into Trina's grief or if you like it becomes like a really weird thing, I guess that's still not enough for me. It's really not. It's not enough for me. I think that you actually have to go above and beyond in situations like this. Tabiana's Trina hasn't really had story outside of Sprina. A lot of her story always hooked back to Sprina. So when her scene partner in Spencer is taken off screen, you actually need to over invest in having her on. So we had this thing with Black Hospital this week. She was nowhere to be found. We haven't seen her, I think, last week at all or this week. And part of that is because I know people got mad. Don't drag me. People got mad when I thought this before. The Sprina story wasn't good. You had them basically just be like fighting about Ace. And even when she was like, you shouldn't be like trying to be this parent. It wasn't even to be like, you need to go explore other things. You need to go do something besides babysit. It was just like, I don't want you around Esme like that. So Spencer wasn't doing anything. So you had these two characters kind of just like written into corners, only being together. So then when you lose one of the characters, what do you do? And that's what we're seeing. And I think that it's like so jarring to have like Esme be so mourned by Heather and be like that be such a big thing. When Spencer was like a 22-year-old kid in the prime of his life, it should be shocking that he died. People knew him. He was like legacy character born on screen. Like, what are we doing? Like, and then to, on top of that, again, not over invest in Trina because you have very few Black people. It just, I don't know, it feels like a miss. And it just felt so, like I said, so jarring when we saw Heather.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was kind of like, why? I didn't really understand why she was on the scene anyway. It seemed like such a kind of like a side note. I didn't understand why Ace was in the hospital. I didn't understand anything. It just seemed so superfluous. I was just like, this doesn't need to be happening right now. And then she escapes just so she can attack Cyrus and kill Cyrus. It was just craziness. It was more like, it was kind of fillerish, even though it was meant to be like, oh my God, this really exciting thing. Right. Heather's on the loose, but it wasn't. It was filler. And right. So I was just like, this is weird. I didn't understand it at all, but I guess, yeah. And yeah. That's a horrible thing to use Heather and Cyrus, who are such phenomenal actors, and their characters are so just, you know, dynamic or whatever, to use them as filler is really crazy to me. Like, you should never, you should really, if they are going to be on the scene, they should be kind of like the focus, right? The focus villain, the focus action, and that it. Don't put them secondary to Steve Burton, which was what ended up happening.
Not secondary, like, the story didn't even make sense. Like, I mean, I guess, like, maybe right. It's, like, being done so that we see Laura softening to Cyrus, maybe?
I guess. But
I don't know. To be honest, I would rather see Cyrus and Heather in cahoots doing some mess.
Right.
Like, some shenanigans. Give me some shenanigans.
But some serious shenanigans that people pay attention to and not be like, why is this on my screen right now? I need to be seeing what's happening with... It's Sunny and Jason.
And Dante.
Yeah, I don't want, because I respect them as actors so much, I don't want them to be seen as filler. And like their shenanigans as like not serious, not have the attention that should be paid to. Like, yeah. Heather running around with a knife shouldn't have been like, oh, Laura needs to come to the rescue. No, the whole police department needs to come in, but they're so focused on Mob, they can't. So I didn't really like that for them. So yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I hated it. But you know, here we are. Two more things. Marshall's diagnosis, misdiagnosis. I really have very little to say. I cannot believe this is a story of Black Hospital. I really can't believe that Black Hospital is like mostly absent from the umbrella story of Jason coming back. And it just speaks to me. I know that I've seen a little bit of like people like wanting more for Trina. And I don't disagree. Like, of course, like, and we should. And I'm like, I want more for Black Hospital, period. Because this is, what is this? What is this?
Yeah, I want more for Trina, but this is not the story. I mean, I think this
she
is
ain't
more,
even in the story.
She's not in the story. I think this is more of a story of, I mean, Marshall could be having this story with Aunt Stella, and then this could bring on the romance that they've been teasing us about. But I mean, I don't think this is the story that the whole Black General Hospital should be involved in, or it should be the only story. What we want for Trina really is for her real dad to come back. Ooh. And her dealing with I mean, her dad's drinking problem or whatever it is. That's what we want.
And that could have been a part of Jason coming back too, like part of that.
Exactly.
Like, Haggard has known these characters forever.
Exactly.
So like,
that's who they should have brought back instead of Jagger. They should have brought back Taggart
for sure. Or I mean, bring them. I don't want Jagger at all. But like, I don't care about Jagger. But like, I think that there's like this call for Trina and for Taggart, because that is actually like very good emotional story for both of those characters. The story with mm-hmm. Curtis just didn't hit. And so Trina's mm-hmm. support of Curtis like doesn't hit either. This stuff with Taggart is actually like the kind of stuff that soaps are made of. And it's about not just like, so with the Curtis stuff, the Curtis stuff is about Curtis and everybody mm-hmm. supporting Curtis. I think a story with Taggart around like coming to terms with like his place in her life and supporting him is about the both of them. And that's mm-hmm. actually a meaty story for both him and Trina. So mm-hmm. when I ask for Taggart back, that's what I'm talking about. Like, where is the story that is not just her on the sidelines, but her actually being able to like be an active participant in something that grows her character? Because this ain't it.
Right.
And again, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Please go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I still think it would have been not only good for Taggart to be back for Trina, but he also has relationship with everyone across GH. I think bringing back the whole Karen history is interesting, but Taggart also has a bunch of history with Sunny that they could tackle. Taggart has just as much ire and anger over Sunny and who he is and his past as this Jagger person. And it could have pulled off, and he could have been like, yeah, he's mad at Sunny for, you know, having, you know, being dangerous to his family, his whole family, whether it's Trina, whether it's, you know, I guess Curtis isn't his family, but still tangentially related, all of the things. He has as much smoke for Sunny as Jagger, and actually has more of a reason to be on the canvas than
Well, don't forget that he doesn't have smoke for Sunny anymore because Sunny helped him, right? So I think that, but he also has like history with Laura.
Right.
He was there. He was the cop that was there when Lucky fake died.
But it would have been, even if Sunny helped him, it would have been believable that Taggart would have been like, I don't care, I'm a cop, I'm still going to have smoke for you.
Right, but I'm saying that even in an organic way, it doesn't even have to be about having smoke for Sunny. It's about like coming back and like even talking to Laura, like, I know we've mm-hmm. been here before, you know, my daughter's grieving, your grandson. Like, there is so much story to mine with a character like Taggart, even though he wasn't like, extremely, like, I don't know, like, propped in the 90s or whatever. He was, like, integral. Mm-hmm. Like, he had mm-hmm. a place. And so, like, right. throwing that away and not telling that story to, like, what replace him with this, like, hat that, like, we can tell multiple Black stories and we don't need it to just be whatever. But if I had to choose, I'm certainly choosing Taggart's alcoholism over Curtis being in his wheelchair. Because it's not compelling at all.
And they've already come up with a solution to Curtis being in the wheelchair. And so he just needs to start, you know, working out and getting up and walking again so we can just forget about it because yeah. it was a bad story.
Yeah. Terrible. Brooklyn, one, we see her and Chase have a conversation about like him being a cop, but we also see her confess to Tracy that she's being blackmailed by Lucy Noon. And so we see like a different and a new relationship for Brooklyn and Tracy. I liked it. I liked them together.
It's a stronger relationship for it. So, yeah.
Yeah. I think those actors have amazing chemistry. I don't have too they much do. To say, but yeah. I really do love them together.
Agree. No notes.
I will also say that I think it's interesting that, you know what? No, I won't even say that. I'm going to hold it because I want to see what happens more with Nina and Alexis. Because we do okay. have Nina versus Alexis. We have at the Invader. I think that this is going to turn into Alexis going back to being a lawyer somehow.
Oh, yeah, because they keep talking. Well, I mean, they talked about it again when she had her scenes with Diane. I actually like those scenes, too. And bringing back to what you said, I mean, Nancy Lee Grand and Carolyn Hennessy have great acting chemistry together, regardless mm-hmm. of whether or not, you know, they have whatever going on in real life. And so I thought those scenes were really great. Actually, I enjoy those scenes more than I enjoy a lot of Nancy LeGrand scenes. But I'm also enjoying the scenes that she's having with Nina. I think they're a lot better. I'm like, I don't like, I mean, her scenes with Gregory are just boring to me. Mm. But and I think it's boring for both Nancy LeGrand and the actor that's playing Gregory. I think Gregory does better when he's with Tracy.
100%.
So I just don't think that friendship is actually very interesting to me at all. But I like the friendship between Alexis and Diane, and I like the friendship between Gregory and Tracy. So
agreed. I love that we just sped through all the non-Jason stuff. We're like, great, 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 bye.
Great, great. Check
Do you have
I have a hot take.
Please.
Oh my God. Kate Manzi cracked me up. When she got to the elevator with Sam yeah. and was like, what's next? And Sam was like, they're not for you. She's like, I'm eating for two. That was hilarious.
She's really funny. I love her. It was also weird, like this weird dynamic, because I think they were like trying to figure out how to have her see Dante, but not like remind us that Sante share siblings. It was
yes.
It's fine. We know they share two siblings. It is what it is.
Right, it's all right. We've dealt with it. So go ahead and put her in.
Like, well, I do want to say, aside from GH, I'm really excited. I don't know if you saw the news about them starting a new Black soap opera called The Gates, with Michelle Valjean at the helm. It's going to be focused on a affluent Black family. The NAACP is going to take a part in like supporting it. I'm excited for it. I think. I don't know. You go where you're celebrated. When I saw people fan casting, when I was fan casting, I was like, ooh, bring back me some Angie and Jesse and have them be like the, like, you know, like the stable couple. Like,
yeah, Victoria Rowell, all of that.
It was such a reminder of how daytime has fumbled these Black actors. Who else would you like to see in it? So I know I would love to see like Debbie and Darnell. You said Victoria. Who else?
I would like to see Ava LaRue on there too. I think it would be amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, and well, all the Black actors on Young and the Restless, I would like them to leave Young and the Restless and go to The Gates.
Yeah, people would say Michelle Morgan for sure.
Oh like, yeah, definitely. And it seems like her current stint on Young and the Restless may be a little bit temporary, but I'm loving her. I love her.
Okay.
No matter what character she's playing, she's been playing sisters. And either way, either sister is always amazing. She's just brings so much life
Okay, range. The,
yeah, she has so much range. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many good there. People. I would love, I mean, I know that, I was going to call her Evangeline. That's not yes. her real name. I know Renee is like busy doing a bunch, but I would love to see cameos. I think that's yeah. the other thing. Like, I would love to see like some strong, like, you know, central Black characters. Mm-hmm. But then, like, I would love to see cameos from other people. Mm-hmm. Look, I wouldn't be mad if Portia, or who plays Portia, Brooke actually left GH and got something meaty to do over there.
Right.
I really hope this pushes soap operas to realize you have to like support your Black actors and really your actors of color in general, but we're talking about Black people right now. Mm-hmm. You really have to like give people like roles. You have to give them something that's worth them sticking around for, because there's somewhere we can go and be celebrated instead of having to beg for representation.
Oh yeah, Shamar Moore's show SWAT just got canceled, so ooh. Go back to Gates.
Come on, Shamar. Come on home.
Come on, come on home. Happy to have you.
Yeah, I'm also wondering if it's going to like exist in the same universe as like the other CBS shows, like how with ABC, like, yeah, they were different, but like, you know, All My Children, One Life to Live, GH all existed in the same universe. So I don't know. Now, I'm excited yeah, to see.
Because then that would make it easier for a crossover for both Young and the Restless and Bold and the Beautiful. Bold and Beautiful also has some Black actors that are horribly underused,
right?
And so for them to be able to cross over and their characters go somewhere else would be great.
I think there are great things coming. I'm excited for Yay. It. I will be watching.
Yeah, definitely.
Ready for previews for next week?
Let's do it.
Okay. Monday, Carly reveals the news about Jason to Sunny.
Ooh.
Jagger and Anna continue their pursuit. So maybe that does mean that Jason does not get caught at the house. Maxie and Spinelli try to resolve their issues. Sasha offers her support to Cody. Tuesday, Drew confronts Carly. I'm making a face. I think you looked away, but Jason asks for a favor. Sam is emotional. Finn assesses Heather. Natalia surprises Blaze.
Okay, why is Finn assessing Heather? He is not a psychologist. That should be Kevin.
She must have an infectious disease.
Oh yeah, because of the rash.
Wednesday. Sunny fears Jason has changed. Michael is in shock. Selena shares information with Curtis. Drew blows off some steam. Jordan has doubts about her career. Thursday, Jason explains where he's been. Lois checks in on Sunday. Sunny. Sunday. Lois checks in on Sunday. Jagger asks Carly for help. Yikes. Sam has trouble hiding her suspicions. Molly speaks to Anna about potential charges. Interesting. Friday, Heather gets medical information. Dang, Heather's still there. Diane has a proposal for Alexis. Kevin reveals something to Marshall about his diagnosis. Josh tries to stop Dex from leaving. Damn, Dex, you still on that? Nina humiliates Gregory. Girl, what you about to do?
Oh, goodness. That's a topic of discussion. What's for Dex now, unless he's Dante's son? Like, what's the reason to keep him around?
That's right. Let's do it. Mm-hmm. We've already told you what needs to happen.
And Drew better, really think hard if he thinks that, Carly is going to choose him over Jason. I think he's going to be one of the casualties of the Jason, Sunny, and Carly relationship.
I hope they do better than they did last time, because that was a mess. They just like tossed Drew to the side. We'll see. Well, thank you for Sunday shifting with us. Please like, subscribe, tell your friends.
Leave a comment.
Leave a comment. Share all the good things.
We're trying to build subscribers.
We are.
Tell your friends.
Tell your friends and tell a friend. And hopefully we do some more live stuff soon or something more interactive, because people have been asking for that. So we appreciate you. Have a good rest of your day.